We did it, guys. We finally signed the contract for the National Broadband Plan. Yes. And instead of being embarrassed about the hames we made of it, we're holding a back-patting press call. Yeah. Also, sorry we only had room on the stage for Fine Gael ministers running in the next election. Yeah. But anyway, rural broadband. They said it couldn't be done.
Most of the bidders, that is.
Thanks for that, nobody. Yeah. They said it wouldn't be done.
Yeah, well, it's taken us 7 years to get this far, and it'll be double that before it's finished.
Yeah, cheers, Murph.
You're welcome.
They said it shouldn't be done.
The Department of Public Expenditure were really against it on a value for money basis.
True, Minister Ring, but look, we're doing it anyway. Yes. Culchies deserve access to Pornhub and hilarious cat memes as well. And so I'll take some questions on this historic day for Ireland.
Taoiseach,
are you going to stand by Verona Murphy, your Wexford by-election candidate, over racist comments about asylum seekers?
Well, I was hoping for more broadbandy type questions, TBH. But look, Verona has apologised for claiming that child refugees had all been radicalised by ISIS to blow up the Dunbrody famine ship or whatever.
I'm just glad there's a different Murphs in the firing line this time.
We've all said and done racist things. Yeah. Fine Gael used to have a bunch of racist policies. Now it's led by the wokest Taoiseach Evans.
Remember when we said immigrant school children who were struggling with the English language should be segregated?
But that was Brian Hayes years ago. He learned his lesson and now he stands up for the marginalised in society.
Yeah.
Bankers. Anyway, the point is Verona is an outspoken person and you have to admire someone who doesn't just toe the party line.
Maria Bailey towed the party line and she was still deselected.
Why is that piece of fibre optic cable voicing an opinion? Anyway, Bailey tried to get compo for failing to operate a child's plaything. That's way more scarlet than a few racist comments. And of course, more than most, I understand what racism is.
Yeah, because you had some racist-y ideas yourself, like telling jobless immigrants to go back to where they came from with 6 weeks dole.
Yeah, shut it, Murph, or I'll deselect you from the photo op. Anyway, let's have some questions about the broadband plan, guys.
Yes, Taoiseach, about the cost, €3 billion. How is this costing more than the National Children's Hospital?
Oh, God. Or maybe we could talk about Verona some more.
I'll take this one.
Oh, God, no, not you.
I think it's a ridiculous question. I mean, we'll be lucky if we end up getting the National Children's Hospital for just €3 billion.
Why did we bring Harris to Wicklow with us?
I live here, Taoiseach.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Taoiseach, why is the broadband down here costing double what it will in the north, even though it's been rolled out by the same company?
Because we're calling this the Rolls Royce of broadband, because it's flashy, but actually really old tech that will probably be defunct before the network is even finished.
And the state won't even own the infrastructure at the end. We wouldn't want to do it, it'll be junk.
It was a KPMG recommendation so that the bidding would remain competitive.
But even though there was only one bidder, the cost tripled. I know. Can you believe we paid $25 million to consultants for that advice? They saw us coming.
Anyway, we've got to run, guys. David McCourt is taking myself, Dennis Nocton and Pat Breen out for a celebratory dinner. But that's all above board now because the deal is done.
And so the third general election in 4 years, 2015 elected David Cameron, who gave us Brexit, 2017 elected Theresa May and gave us the DUP, and I don't know who 2019 will elect, but it's already given the nation a gigantic pain in the ass. No one could call a winner in the leaders' debate, although it was generally agreed that the viewers were definitely the losers. The debate was punctuated by moments of laughter from the audience, who had trouble taking either candidate seriously.
My policies are clear. My stance on Brexit is absolutely clear. We've made no secret deals with the SNP for more referendums.
I can promise you my government is building 40 new hospitals. Furthermore, I believe that the truth really matters. And I am not going to sell our National Health Service to American Big Pharma.
Just as the two men appeared to be the worst party leaders in living memory, up popped a man made from processed ham and bigotry, Nigel Farage.
No. The plain-speaking, lager-louting, tripe-noshing, fag-puffing, euro-hating people of Great Britain, people so stupid they think we're going to reopen the cotton mills and the coal mines, want to get Brexit done once and for all. That's why they're putting their trust in the Brexit Party, which isn't technically a political party, but legally a hybrid of a registered charity, religious cult, and tech startup, so that I can remain its CEO and tax-free god-king for life. People say we've no policies. Well, I've got one for you. Trade, not aid. Once elected, the Brexit Party will slash all foreign aid, because what has Great Britain ever done that we should feel guilty about? Certainly nothing I learned about in history lessons at school. No.
Meanwhile, the Prime Minister defended his failure to publish a parliamentary report into Russian tampering.
Prime Minister, why won't you release a report which details a surge in Conservative Party donations from Russian oligarchs?
Well, that's because there's absolutely nothing suspicious whatsoever in that report, which I'm sure will be released in due course after we've won the election.
So you don't deny money was paid to the party by Russians linked to the Kremlin?
Duh, comrade! I mean, any such gifts were properly vetted, just like I carefully vet my sexual conquests using high-tech, secure Tinder app technology. Gadzooks!
Oh?
Hello, Anastasia, 46, in Stepney. I'll be rushing to meet you when this interview is done. Brr.
So, you do deny Russian interference in British politics?
Well, now, fibble fabble. We mustn't cast aspersions on everybody who comes from a certain country just because of their nationality, unless they're brown or Irish. Now, excuse me, I must go to meet Anastasia. Kalinka, kalinka, dasvidanya, quavers.
Thank you, Sotheby's. I'll take it from here. Chim, chim, cherry. After the art wouldn't sell, welcome to a very special edition of the Late Late Show Orchie Auction. Now, our first lot is the Fair City Lot. 80s-tastic, coincidentally made from 80% plywood and absolutely not suitable as actual accommodation. Yeah, currently stored in a skip. Who'll give me a grand?
1 million.
Jumping Jiminy Dean, a 1 million euro bid for the gentleman from the Department of Housing. Now, I can't emphasize how much people cannot live in Carrickstown. It's dangerous and demeaning. That's just the dialogue and the plotting. So, no other bids on that?
2 million.
Wow, the housing man is bidding against himself. Unbelievable. Sold.
Co-living in Fair City, here we come!
Yeah, now our next lot is modern antique. Yes, it's the Orchie Player. I've just been told the player is still not loading. Ugh, it's been withdrawn from sale. Dog Nabbit, Roger Rabbit. Yeah, what they said. Next, we have a collection of assorted Orchie memorabilia, folks, including a glass-framed bit of hay from the barn where Miley and Fidelma did the hot and heavy hanky-panky dance, my golly. The dead cat from Love Hate, remember that? And Ted, the evil panda from the dead. Nostalgic reminder of when we made original TV. Careful there, that wind might... Oh! And the entire lot has just been knocked over by a breeze coming in from the empty studio where we used to make children's programs. Gee golly gosh. It's a tragedy. But anyway, lot number 6 is from this very studio. We are selling one used up Late Late Show audience. Yeah! You just sprinkle a little wine, promise them free tat, and they're delighted with themselves. Now, this lot does not include the late, late Valentine's audience, as a file is still being prepared for the DPP. So sad. But it's a very durable crowd. They're not afraid to make idiots of themselves on the telly, and they react when you say things like, Longford! Yeah. Now, who'll open the bidding for me on this lot?
Oh, sorry, it's gone.
What's that? Oh, we're told this lot has been sold before auction. Sold to Ray Darcy in a bid to replace his own dispirited dead audience. Oh, wow. They don't like that, the scampity scamps. Messers. And that's all we've time for. Thanks to all our bidders, we raised enough money to keep Marty Morrissey in eyeliner for a month. In the meantime, the Orchie Executive Board plan is to spend the arts budget on winning streak scratch cards. Ha ha! Spin and win, yeah!
Your Royal Highness, thank you for talking to us about this controversy.
Of course.
How did you come to invite this convicted sex trafficking paedophile to a royal party?
Well, it wasn't a party. It was a shooting weekend. Just a regular weekend spent shooting things and denying sexual encounters with trafficked women. Nothing out of the ordinary.
But all this time he was procuring young girls illegally.
Well, yes. When one visited him regularly, one saw a lot of beautiful teenage girls who one assumed with just the help. But there was no indication of anything illegal. I mean, they did, of course, look very unhappy and wore very little clothing, but no red flags.
While an arrest warrant was out on Epstein, you invited him to Windsor Castle. Why?
Well, you have to remember this warrant was in the United States. I was unaware of it. This wasn't like nowadays with Twitters and smartphones and such. This was 2006, when the quickest way to get a message to someone was with a fast horse and an attractive young girl.
But you do have a reputation as a party prince.
Well, I really don't know why. Maybe it's because I have party prince tattooed across my buttocks. But the only ones who've ever seen it are young women who I don't remember meeting.
Did you meet Miss Roberts in Tramp Nightclub?
No, it's impossible. Impossible. I was a heroic helicopter pilot during the Falklands War, and I was tragically injured. My eyes were damaged by strobe lighting in a particularly raucous nightclub in the Falklands, so I'm no longer able to see people under 18. They're literally invisible to me. It's a medical mystery.
Miss Roberts was very specific about the date.
Well, it couldn't have happened. You see, that particular night, I brought my children to Supermax on Eyre Square in Galway. I remember it distinctly, even though it was many years ago, because they put both curry and cheese on the fries. Remarkable, remarkable. Young people love it.
Can you explain the photograph of you with your arm around the teenage Miss Roberts?
Well, how do we even know that's my arm? I don't remember if I had an arm back then. Who remembers how many limbs they had when they were young? Goodness.
What was your reaction when Epstein took his own life?
Shock. I mean, people think the royals have no power anymore. But look at what happened. Suspicious death, just like Diane. I mean, it's very troubling that he's gone and he can't implicate anyone.
Prince Andrew, thank you.
No, thank you. Whew. Well, I think that went rather well, don't you?
Welcome back. Dez is here with sport. Dez...
Ireland will face Slovakia in the Euro 2020 playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then a final against either Bosnia or Northern Ireland. Oh. Depending on results in the B semi-final and the aggregate age of the supporters in the UEFA Nations League last year.
Wow.
It's a complicated system, but it ensures everyone will be sick of Euro 2020 before it even starts. Now, Mick McCarthy isn't worried about the four-month layoff before the playoff. See what I did there?
Well, by the time March comes round, all the child players our hopes are on will be 4 months older. Troy Parrott will be 18, old enough to drink and to vote and to die for his country in the six-yard box.
Yeah, Jose Mourinho has been appointed head coach at Spurs just hours after the club sacked their popular manager, Pochettino. Brian Kerr is unconvinced.
Mourinho's only a gouger, Des. Boy and players like it's going out of fashion. Mind you, take him in a taxi from the Shelburne to the airport and he's not so bleeding flahoolock. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. In the GAA...
Oh, lovely, Des.
Yeah, maybe wait till you hear what I'm going to say.
What?
The Limerick County Board has launched disciplinary procedures into two hurlers...
Oh, dear.
...after alleged fighting in the street in New York. Marty Morrissey has more.
Hi, it's Marty in the Big Apple. Though it's cherries, I'm up for popping.
Yeah, tell us what happened, Marty.
Well, this was one street party that turned out to be a bit more than just a light schmozzle with a side order of handbags.
Sorry, Marty, this was a serious incident. You're reporting on it the way you'd read out the winning tickets in a club raffle.
Well, Sean, boys will be boys. Throw a passport and a few shandies into the mix and high spirits are only
going
to be...
That's enough of that. Des, is there any other GA news, for goodness sake? Something that reminds us of the spirit of this fine organisation?
The International Rules Series is going to return.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, the hybrid game has been played for 2 years, but the GAA and the AAFL have now confirmed tests for next year and 2022.
Well, presumably the GAA will be looking to get those Limerick hurlers to give the team a competitive edge.
The game has unfortunately long struggled to shake off its reputation for extreme violence on the pitch.
Yeah, it is an unsavoury spectacle, Des.
So it can be very exciting, what? Especially when some football breaks out.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to go, I can probably get you a ticket, Sean.
Why?
You'll probably have time in your hands by then, since you'll be retired.
Thank you, Des.
Hello, good evening and welcome to the programme. These are the Ompost Irish Book Awards, the annual fiercely fought competition to see who can survive the longest, Ompost or Irish books. As usual, we've a whole room full of well-known faces who've demonstrated that their agents know somebody who's willing to write for cash up front and no credit afterwards. And, of course, the actual writers who I can just make out down the back.
Hi! Yay!
They're so talented and they're down there comparing the price they paid for renting their outfits. A reminder, of course, to publishers here, don't leave your bottles of wine on the tables as the writers will steal them, January. First off, we've asked some of our nominated authors to read their best bits from their books of the year.
Cecilia Hearn, hugs and unicorns.
Snowdrops and daffodils, butterflies and bees. My dad was a Taoiseach. Buy my books, please.
Fintan O'Toole, the shite of the nation.
Ireland is terrible. It didn't deserve Conor Cruise O'Brien. That'll be replaced by Gay Byrne in the next edition. And it really, really doesn't deserve me.
Dermot Ferreter, Ireland was gas.
Everything was dreadful. Ireland was an awful space, but we still had some crack.
Christy Dignam, the smack and the crack.
Being on the gear was gear, but I couldn't beat the adrenaline rush I got off being on stage singing crazy whittles. Then after the gig, we'd have to put the gear back in the van. Different gear.
Andrea Corr, my turn to write a book.
Growing up in Dundalk in the 1980s was grim, so it was. On the one side, I had the complex politics and constant fear of subversive terrorist acts. But when Jim wasn't there, Caroline would just play the drums, hey.
Facebook users, the Aisling novels.
Oh my God, if I eat this Dunn's couscous, I'll never fit into my Renault Clio, and I won't get to give any guards a lash in coppers. It's enough to give me f***y flutters, and me in the middle of the Penny's PJ section.
Such a talented bunch of writers. Later on in the programme, some sports stars will accept awards for books they've neither written nor read. And hello to you, our TV audience of people who fell asleep in front of their tellies after the Ray Darcy show and are now suffering from a wine and disappointment-induced coma. Back after this.
On Post, celebrating our new branding colour, which is the shade of something green that was left in the window of an old shop during a heatwave.
Callan's Cakes!
For too long, them lot up in Dublin have been deaf to your concerns. But no more, because rural broadband is the solution. Thanks to the Government of Ireland, new parents in Nurney will now be able to share in the joys of googling symptoms of meningitis at 3 o'clock in the morning. Teenagers in Tullahar will be able to join in the latest online trends, like trolling the girl at the next school over whose hair's a bit funny. And lonely ladies in Leitrim will get to join the Tinder revolution and be judged, gaslit and ghosted by hundreds of men they've never met. For only 3 billion of your money, and definitely no more, what passes for the Government of Ireland will deliver fibre broadband to every home in rural Ireland that wants it within just 7 years. That's right, 7 years to do what a lad with a van and a bunch of satellite dishes could do in a few months. And it definitely won't take longer than 7 years, because if it does, the government will be really cross. And if there's one thing that really gets the private sector moving, it's the government looking cross. 3 billion euro is the entire profit NAMA will make from selling the country to foreign funds, or the cost of a house for every homeless family. So it's lucky we found a way to get rid of it quick, because otherwise we'd have to interfere with the housing market, and that would really fuck things up for our pals, the vultures and the cuckoos. Brought to you by the ghosts of communications past, from Pat Rabbit to Alex White to Dennis Nocton, the ghost of communications present, Richard Bruton, and the ghost of communications future, who's going to pop up 10 years from now and tell you it was all a waste of money, because by the time they got it installed, 5G wireless rendered it obsolete and everybody had left rural Ireland anyway. The National Broadband Plan, because somebody promised it long ago and there's no one brave enough to shout stop. The Government of Ireland, coming up with ever more creative ways to torch your money. Once the 3 billion euro spent, the network will remain in private ownership. After 25 years, the government will have the option of buying back the network, but it'll be buck useless by then anyway. Rural broadband subscriptions will be at market rates, but there is no market, so the provider will set the prices and go FG yourself if you don't like them.
It's that time of year again, you've watched all the good Netflix shows,
yeah.
But it's not Christmas yet, so here's I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here.
Hi, I'm Ant.
And I'm Deck. No, wait, I'm Ant. Oh,
definitely.
Right.
I wouldn't have known that in the past because I was off my face on booze and pills.
Oh, hey, man.
Calm down, Ant, or they'll bring dead-eyed Holly back.
Ooh.
It's week two and still in the jungle are... Caitlyn Jenner, a former Olympic athlete, so conflicted she's a trans woman who doesn't like gays.
Right.
She remains a contestant most likely to have a meltdown when anyone brings up a car crash that killed a pensioner.
I haven't been around this many creepy crawlies since my last season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I love this show. Now shut up and give me my paycheck.
The girl's a loud star you'd forgotten existed, Nadine Coyle.
I'm just so happy to be here. I'm a wee dairy girl, so I am. A wee flower of a dairy girl. Like the show. So everyone will love me, won't they? Oh, there hasn't been this much commotion in my hometown since the wee battle of the Bogside. totally awesome.
Oh, wow! Imagine having an accent that irritating and hard to understand. Who else we got? Ant-comedian Andrew Maxwell. Is that right? I've never heard of him.
Dunno.
He made his mark by participating in a Turning On Different Lamps challenge, which was about as entertaining as a bout of dysentery.
Ah, hell yeah. I am going to spend the rest of my time passively aggressively explaining Brexit to the Brits, like the taxi driver who hasn't realised his passenger fell asleep.
Yeah, laughter. And this week, the jungle got a bit junglier with the arrival of two new soap stars you've never heard of, right, who join the rest of the cast of Nobodies.
Yeah.
Also, low rent, they'll be forgotten about quicker than the massive car crash I had last year when I was off me nut.
Stop talking about it, Ant.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Okay, Mr. President, the results are back from the hospital.
Thanks, Doctor. Another terrific clean bill of health. Amazing.
No, Donald. You had to go to hospital for emergency.
Emergency routine. Physical. I aced all the tests. I'm in tremendous shape.
Only if the shape is 200 kilo slab of margarine left out in the sun.
Indeed, Mr. President, you are a little bit heavy.
Well, if I'm heavy, how come my head feels so light?
Light? Ugh. Well, that's not a good sign.
Maybe I should release my medical records to show how fit and healthy I am. Obama never released his because it proved he was Kenyan or on crack cocaine. Ugh. I haven't decided which one I'm going to tell Devin Nunes to say yet.
Mr. President, it's your heart.
I have a big heart. Maybe the biggest heart in the world. That's what I told Melania. It's so big, not even four wives can fill it.
Ugh.
You need to cut out the trans fats and work in your dietary base.
That's what I did. I cut the trans right out of the military. Oh. And worked a treat with the base. Now go away. I never had this medical.
Sir.
And now I want to not watch the impeachment hearings.
Right.
You know how I don't like not doing two things at once.
Sure.
As Ambassador Sondland's explosive testimony continues,
what?
Surely this spells impeachment for President Trump.
Well, the joke's on them. I can't spell impeachment. Fake news. They got nothing. Nothing!
Donald?
No smoking gun.
Until today.
Mr. Sondland confirmed there was a quid pro quo.
Who is this guy?
He's the ambassador to the EU.
Yeah, the deep state.
You appointed him.
Told the hearing, we followed the president's orders.
I told him I want nothing! I want nothing! Hey, that's a good line. I need to write it down so I could say to the fake news media before I go for my chopper ride later. Things are looking up for 2020, honey.
We should celebrate, Donald.
Yeah!
I'll ask Chef to make us a special order of extra cheesy nachos with cheeseburgers on the side.
Oh, honey, you're gonna make my heart burst.
That's the plan.
Sorry, what? I missed that because I got cholesterol in my ears. Now watch your step, Taoiseach. It's not very well lit around here.
Ew, I think I just stepped in some Middle Ireland. Anyway, Dr. Riley, the thing to remember is to really stress the rural broadband on the doorsteps. The turf munchers will lap that stuff up.
But this is bad breaking, boss.
Yep.
Dublin.
What? Really? Where are the footpaths? Where's the nearest Fallon and Byrne? Oh, sod it.
Yeah, why is it?
Evening. This is Dr. Riley, your Fine Gael candidate.
Who?
To be honest, I thought we got rid of him ages ago, but...
Are you looking to be sponsored for the guys?
I don't even know what that is. Anyway, we're rolling out really high-quality broadband in your area.
Yeah, we have Sky, and I'm not looking to change the provider, okay?
No, we're not. We're not trying to sell you anything.
Is that the smoky coal you're using, is it? I never forgave Mary Hardy for getting rid of that.
What are you on about?
So, your broadband is satisfactory for your current needs, but did you know that with the rollout...
I want your bleeding broadband.
Do you mind if I come in to inhale your fire? It'll only take a minute.
Get out of it, you hairy yoke.
Now, once again, Verona, I appeal to you to say as little as possible.
God, you're an awful idiot, Charlie.
Please.
Hello?
Hello there, little man. Are you the man of the house?
Doesn't he look a bit...
My name is Charlie, and this lady is Verona.
Hello.
And what's your name?
Mohammed.
Hold on now. Mohammed.
Verona. And what's that you have there, Mohammed?
It's Action Man.
Ah, isn't that lovely?
What's he wearing? Is that a suicide vest?
Verona, Mohammed, I would like...
What?
...to distance myself from that remark.
I wholeheartedly apologise and so on and so forth. Look, will you vote for me?
I'm only four.
Four? So you could have been radicalised a year ago.
Again, I'd like to distance myself from that...
Have to go now.
Oh.
Watch Paws Patrol.
Patrol? Is that an ISIS thing now here, you little...
Here we are, Taoiseach. Are you happy now?
This is far more like it, Riley. Miles of white tiles and soulless shops. Reassuringly Dublin.
Yes.
Wait, I think I can see three shops selling runners.
Oh.
Is that a TK Maxx?
It is.
Oh my God, a vape shop?
Yes, it is.
Riley, is this an actual POV shopping centre?
This is the Swords Pavilion, Taoiseach.
More like POVilion. Oh. Here, you hand out the leaflets. Oh. I don't want to get close to these types in case I get poverty on my good suit.
Hello, Mrs. James Riley, vote number one.
Oh, you are useless in health, you are.
Now, I was the man who got rid of cholera out of bad Britain.
You're all a bleeding disgrace. Half your candidates are racist. Racist!
Madam, as I've been saying a lot this week, I've had more experience of racism than anyone.
Yeah, because you singled out the Albanians there recently.
I'd like to distance myself from the Taoiseach's horrible remarks.
And I'd like to distance myself from here.
Oh, no, what?
I need to get back to Castle Knock, where the closest people get to a shopping centre is a weekend in Vienna at the Christmas market, in between ski holidays.
Oh.
Tiddles!